Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The following preview has been approved for appropriate audiences by the Motion Picture Association of America, Inc.
In a world where the phrase "in a world" signifies impending doom on a global and possibly galactic scale, one man with only a radio show dares to ask why. Why do the trailers for summer movies excite us and move us and super excite us?
On the musical side, this is presented as a package that is intended to hit you over the head, both visually and musically, so you can get as boisterous and as emotive and expressive as you want quickly.
People are going to die. I can't let that happen.
That's the composer Yoav Gorin. He writes the music for a lot of the big movie trailers you see on TV or in the theaters. And with the summer blockbuster season upon us, we'll talk about the music for these tiny but explosive packages of film and music. We've also got live music and a new summer video game from the Canadian rock band called Tokyo Police Club. So, summer movies, summer games, what about summer sounds? Many of us tend to have a song that just becomes, for us, the song of the summer. For many people, last year, it was this song.
She's up all night to the sun. I'm up all night to get some. She's up all night for good fun. I'm up all night to get lucky.
Daft Punk's Get Lucky was one of the big hits of the summer of 2013, and whether you wanted to or not, you probably heard a good deal of it back then. But what will you be listening to this summer? Rich Jeswiak of the website Gawker asked his readers that question recently and got hundreds of answers, several of which actually made sense. So we've invited him to share the results of his survey titled, What Will Your Summer Jams Be? Rich, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Thanks for having me.
So does Get Lucky summon up memories of the summer of 2013 for you?
Yeah, without a doubt. I think officially the song of summer last year was Blurred Lines, the Robin Thicke song, but Daft Punk was certainly number two.
Now, you make the distinction right away in your Gawker piece
between
the song of the summer.
Right, which is sort of an official chart-based distinction.
And your summer jam, which,
right,
is
which
a
is
personal choice.
Exactly.
So before we get to some of the many answers to your call out to your readers, tell us what you think your summer jam is going to be.
Right now it's Tink, Don't Tell Nobody. Tink featuring Jeremiah. She's a 19-year-old singer-rapper from Chicago. She's prodigiously talented, but also really raw. I mean, she's at a great point in her career where she's like just kind of can mouth off and have this melodrama in her music.
Yeah, we've had a lot of fun trying to find a few seconds of this to play on the radio.
Right, yeah, yeah. I was actually wondering how you would do that.
Well, this is how we're going to do it. Listen.
Even when you ain't in sight, I just hoard it in like it's picture time. I've been holding back for a long while, just hoping soon it'll turn around. But how can I work this? You ain't been perfect, tell me you working it. Your phone loses service, and now I'm here thinking like this nigga tweaking. You sorry, pathetic, and far from authentic. You liar, you front of you just like these other niggas. And as much as I hate you, I still wanna date you. You better just hope I don't
tell nobody. Yeah, I know what you're saying is the truth. Baby, don't tell nobody. No, don't rub me off in front of company. You know we can work it out.
That's just a little bit of the song Don't Tell Nobody by Tink featuring Jeremiah from Chicago.
Yes.
And that is Rich Jeswiak's summer jam. So it's a slow jam summer.
Well, I love the slow summer jam. I mean, it's like a sultry time of year. There's something about like the slow kind of roll, I think, that pairs well with humidity.
Yeah. What about, you know, and let's now get to some of what your readers answered when you asked what their summer jams would be for 2014. Shift Key.
Yes.
Tell us about this.
Well, this is a guy out of England, also very young. I think he's like 21 or something like that. And this is just a straight up unfiltered nostalgia, but also unfiltered joy, which I think is a huge part of summer, too.
Shift Key, spelled K3Y, yes, from the UK, and a song called Touch.
I never wanna give it up. You can never give me way too much while I'm by your side. I just wanna feel your touch. I never wanna give it up. You can never give me way too much while I'm by your side. Tell me, is it easier to see that I don't want nobody else for you with me? It's later and I'm racing to your door. I've never wanted someone's touch like this before. And if she wants to,
big electronic bass sound there from Shift Key in a song called Touch. Rich Jeswiak's with me on Soundcheck. He wrote a post for Gawker about a week ago asking, what will your summer jam be? And he's picked a few of the many hundreds of responses to share with us on Soundcheck today. Now, Macklemore and Ryan Lewis had some, you know, big hits last summer. And this next one sounds like it has a little kind of nod to Macklemore's Thrift Shop in it.
Yeah, without a doubt. It's got sort of the in-your-face horn hook. And that's my favorite thing about Thrift Shop. I mean, the lyrics, I think, are kind of corny, really. I wish it was just sort of a track by itself or, like, somebody freestyling over it. So this kind of achieves that, this Ariana Grande with Iggy Azalea track.
Iggy Azalea is helping out Ariana Grande on the song called Problem.
No half-stepping either, you wanted it, you just playing. I'm listening to you knowing I can't believe what you're saying. It's a million you, baby, boo, so don't be dumb. I got 99 problems, but you won't be one. Like what?
Ariana Grande featuring Iggy Azalea and the song Problem. You can't put Problem in the song title without somewhere along the line referencing Jay-Z's 99 Problems. Rich Jeswiak with me on Soundcheck asking his readers at Gawker, what will your summer jams be? Any surprise? I mean, I noticed a lot of old songs, you know, Jazzy Jeff, Fresh Prince.
Right, yeah, Ghost Town DJ's My Boo, which was another one. There were some, like, I guess, hip-hop tracks that were sort of too hardcore, in my opinion, to be actual summer jams. But, again, this is a to each his own sort of thing.
Right, right.
I hadn't heard the Toon Yards track that that somebody suggested, and that, to me, works so well.
Toon Yards is the work of Merrill Garbus, who is a singer, does a lot of looping and percussion and guitar, etc. And you know, it's great to see her getting some like wider attention because she's been like known within indie circles for a while now. So someone suggested Water Fountain, right?
Yes, which is a political track, but it's kind of capricious about it. You wouldn't necessarily hear it. It almost sounds like a playground melody type of thing. And the hand clap sort of thing reminds me of the Diwali Rhythm, mm-hmm. which was popular about 10 years ago. It was the backbone of Get Busy by Sean Paul and No Holding Back by Wayne Wonder.
Pond to Replay.
Dick dictionary definition one hit wonder type things. Like when I heard that Rihanna track, I was like, oh, this is going to be her hit, which was a terrible prediction. Nonetheless, this song kind of reminded me of that.
Well, Meryl Garbus, who is Toon Yards, you know, she has this affinity for African and Afro-Caribbean and Afro-Latin music. So I guess that's coming out in this song called Water Fountain. Yards, the work of singer-songwriter Meryl Garbus, and a song called Water Fountain, which at least one of Rich Jesuiak's readers suggested as a summer jam, provoked by Rich's article for Gawker, which you can check out on our website at soundcheck.org. What about Disclosure? I mean, somebody suggested a Disclosure song which has been out for a while in the UK, where they are massive.
Right. Yeah,
but
2 years.
Just getting some attention now in the States.
Yeah, it's crazy. So this was a hit in England in 2012, October 2012, Latch. And I heard it at a pizza place last week. And I was like, why is this playing on the radio? And then apparently it just happens to be catching on. It's like one of those slow-growing tracks.
Well, you know,
tracks.
There's that TV commercial. I don't even remember what it's for. It has the Flume remix of Disclosure.
Right.
So I think maybe a lot of people are saying, wow, who is that? And cottoning on to the fact that this is really a very good band.
And also, this song is just tremendous. I mean, the melody alone, it wouldn't even need to be sort of a dance track for it to catch on, I think. It's just the explosive, the way that the chorus launches.
From Britain, the band is Disclosure, featuring Sam Smith with Latch. Disclosure featuring Sam Smith, a little bit of Latch. And for at least one person, that'll be the summer jam for 2014. We're speaking with Rich Jesuiak, who wrote a post for Gawker recently asking what will your summer jams be, and he's picked just a few of the hundreds of responses. So far, I'm not sure I'm hearing anything that will sort of catch on more widely,
right,
a la the Daft Punk song or any of that.
Right.
But there is one song that you've brought in that, to me, has, like, hit written all over it.
It certainly sounds like it.
That's Rooksop and Robin.
Yes.
Rooksop is the electronic duo from Norway. Robin is the pop star from next door in Sweden.
Yes. Not quite a star here, but I mean, almost like a star in theory, more in practice, really.
Yeah.
And this song, I think, kind of negotiates sort of a commercial appeal with their sensibilities. I mean, there are textures there that you don't hear on the radio, but it really is kind of just an EDM track. A very literal one, too. I mean, there's a line that's like, wait for the buildup as the song is building up. You know, I mean, they're really like being
now wait for
direct
the bass drop.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But yeah, I think it works. I could see this being, if not a huge hit, then a lot of people's summer jam. Like, we will hear a lot of this song in casual passing this summer.
Well, listeners, you can tell us what your summer jam is likely to be. We won't hold you to it by the end of the summer, but it'd be interesting to know what you're thinking you'll be listening to for the next couple of months. You can post a comment at soundcheck.org or tweet us at soundcheck. Rich Jesuiak writes for Gawker and has joined me here in the studio, so we'll end with this Rooksop and Robin collaboration. And Rich, happy summer.
Happy summer. Thanks so much for having me.
Jams and barbecue anthems are a staple of summer, but so are the blockbuster movies being advertised right now in movie trailers. We'll talk with a composer who creates the music that gets your blood pumping as you watch those trailers. And later, live music from Tokyo Police Club. This is Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. You know how it works. You go to the movies intending to watch the film that you have paid to see, but inevitably you have to sit through a bunch of trailers first, coming attractions, feature films that are still to come later on.
In a world where the sun burns cold, in a world where great risks can bring extraordinary rewards, in a world that's powered by violence, on the streets where the violent have power.
Now, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. The trailers are often the best part. They give us something to talk about, especially if the movie that we paid for turned out to be a turkey, and they get us all excited about seeing the film, and sometimes they get us excited about the music that we're hearing. Thing is, the music you hear in trailers usually doesn't appear in the film's score or soundtrack. It's made by composers like Yoav Gorin, who owns a production company called Immediate Music. And Yoav has Skyped in from L.A. to join us on Soundcheck. Yoav, first of all, am I right? Does the music that we hear in trailers rarely end up in the films themselves?
You are correct. It is exceedingly rare for any music from a motion picture that's about to come out to show up months in advance in a theatrical campaign geared towards getting awareness for that film. Usually the music from the film itself is one of the last things to go into production before a film is wrapped. So the approach on the marketing side is really wholly different than what's contained in the soundtrack of the film.
So what do you, I guess your work must be sort of like the film composer's work, where you're given some visual material, and then you have to kind of respond to it musically, right?
That's correct. So the various, you know, whether it's a teaser, a trailer, or a TV spot for the film, we'll often get the footage and try to either compose something or match it with something that we already have had composed, mm-hmm. perhaps for other campaigns in the past, or just original compositions that we do specifically for trailers, and try to match up the feel and the direction from the marketing office of what they want to evoke with their visuals.
So I guess that explains why I will sometimes see a trailer and think, I thought I've heard this music in some other movie, probably from another trailer is what you're saying.
Yeah, more than likely. Although sometimes, you know, the way when we started out at Immediate Music in the early 90s, the trend was for the studios to use music from other soundtracks of other films in their trailers, because that was a great source of cinematic music at the time to really elevate, you know, any kind of visual.
So
companies like ours, you know, we started writing compositions and producing compositions with, you know, big orchestras and choirs and stuff like that to get that cinematic sound so that we could get the placement instead of a recycled soundtrack from another movie. And the studios like that as well, because there was always this hesitancy to associate your film with a previous film, especially from a competing studio.
So with Captain America 2, The Winter Soldier, you guys were, what was the job here that you were given?
Well, actually, the job for most of the trailer music that we do is actually supplying our clients, which are the trailer houses, most of them in LA, that produce the trailers, and supplying them with music based on their requests, based on their projects. Largely, they will take our music, whatever we suggest to them, and then they cut it in. Mm-hmm. So in the case of Captain America, this is what happened. We provided them fresh, never before released or used music that we just created on our own, and suggested the track that ultimately ended up in the trailer as one that they should use, and they did. They do the rest. They just kind of cut it in, cut their picture around it. They will ask for breakouts of the audio stems from us so that they can get creative with it, and they kind of put it together themselves.
So the trailer house can then, when you say you give them the stems, those are the individual tracks, so they can remix as needed.
Exactly.
Okay, let's hear a little bit of the trailer. Captain America 2, The Winter Soldier, featuring music by my guest, Yoav Gorin.
All we can do is our best.
People are gonna die. We can't let that happen.
That is the trailer for Captain America 2, The Winter Soldier, recent work from Yoav Gorin and his partner Jeffrey Feynman, who are the co-founders of the company Immediate Music. They compose music heard in movie trailers, including The Amazing Spider-Man 2 and this one from Captain America and many, many others. And Yoav's with us via Skype from L.A. You call this epic music, the genre that you're working in. And it is kind of an epic-sized palette that you're working with. It seems to be orchestral, full chorus. The budget for these, let's face it, fairly short-form pieces of entertainment must be pretty big.
Yes, you're right, they are. It really has to meet a standard that is quite high in the motion picture community with regards to music. We really do invest quite heavily in our production by recording with really big orchestras in some of the finest rooms in the world, using the finest musicians and engineers, etc. It's worth it for us financially, but also artistically as well, because once you do it one way, once, then you cannot really stop doing it that way. And it's actually the best way to realize your music, obviously, is playing it with real musicians on a big stage. It doesn't really get any better than that, or serve the picture any better than that, really.
So if a producer came to you and said, we want a trailer for this summer blockbuster, but we don't have as big a budget, can you give us something computerized, something electronic?
Yes, absolutely. The trend over the last few years, actually, not only for budgetary reasons, actually creatively as well. A lot of the trailer scores today we call hybrid. They are a mix of orchestral and electronics and synthesis, because the electronic part really does give a different kind of flavor to it. It's a more modern sound. It's punchier, and it mixes in really interesting timbral ways with the orchestra. And this is what I describe as new epic.
Uh-huh. Now, that gets us to the album that you're about to release called Trailerhead New Epic. This is by the band Immediate, which is, that's you and Jeff, right?
Correct.
So are these pieces that have been heard in trailers? Are they things that were written for trailers and didn't get used? What are we talking about?
Yeah, it's a combination of tracks. There's 19 tracks on the album, and it's a combination of tracks that have been featured in pretty big trailers like Oblivion and Wolverine, etc. And also some new tracks that were written, again, echoing that same production process where we're kind of imagining a trailer and writing music to a certain genre of trailer. So it ends up being a 3 or 4 minute piece, whose thread is really... The common thread is just an emotional, epic kind of experience.
All right, let's hear a track called "Protectors of Truth." Has this been used in a trailer?
Yes, this was featured in a worldwide campaign for the Wolverine.
All right, this is the band Immediate, featuring my guest, the composer Yoav Gorin. Called Protectors of Truth. You may have heard it in the trailer to the film Wolverine. Music from Immediate, which is the work of composers Yoav Gorin and Jeffrey Feynman, the co-founders of the company Immediate Music, which provides music for movie trailers. And this is from their album called Trailerhead, New Epic. Yoav, if I were running the New York Marathon, I think I would want that on my headphones. I mean, how well do these pieces stand up as music, divorced from the trailers that they're written for?
That's a great question. My goal in releasing this music out in commercial form to the general public is to really do that, is actually make them whole pieces that would stand up on their own. As such, I've taken a lot of the original pieces that were produced for trailers, which might have been a minute or a minute and a half, and I've actually expanded on them and created longer, much longer pieces. For instance, Protectors of Truth is an over 5 minute track on the album. So it really goes hand in hand with the emergence of this genre's popularity in people really seeking out longer pieces of music that can do a lot of things, such as inspire them to run the marathon or to, you know, study for their exam. I mean, we get a lot of those letters. It's very inspirational music that takes you to a higher level and gives you a feeling of accomplishment and achievement on a pretty big scale.
So what makes for great trailer music? It seems to me you've got an even tougher job than the soundtrack composer, because you have like a minute or two to get in there, immediately establish your sonic world, and then get out.
Great point. It does really require a sensibility of stating a theme or a mood very quickly with sound and composition, but also being aware of the needs of the editors in cutting their pieces in order to ultimately sell the movie. So it you really have to, at the same time, play second fiddle to that. But on the musical side, the great thing about it is that you're almost unbound, because it could really be as big or as boisterous or proud as you want it to be without serving, let's say, a scene where you have to dip down because there's dialogue, you know, tender dialogue here, or, you know, certain moments in the film. This is you know, presented as a package that is intended to hit you over the head, and you know, both visually and musically. So you can get as boisterous and as emotive and expressive as you want quickly, which is one thing I really like about this.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite trailer that you've worked on?
Oh, gosh. You know, I'm going to get nostalgic for a moment, and I'm going to say, even though it really tested my resolve, one of the very first trailers I worked on about 20 years ago was for a film called Carlito's Way, and it was the first foray into hiring, conducting, producing an orchestra for me, and I even though it was a trying experience, it really shaped me as a composer and producer of this kind of music.
I gotta do this, just this one thing, and then I'm out.
Every instinct you've got won't do anything but get you killed.
He saved my life, Gail.
Whatever he wants you to do, don't do it.
That's what I am, right or wrong. I can't change that.
Never give up your friends, Dave. And there's only one rule, you save your own ass.
Didn't you ever have a dream?
Yeah, I had a dream, Charlie. But now I'm awake.
We're speaking with Yoav Gorin, a co-founder of the company Immediate Music that provides music for movie trailers. Yoav, is there a Citizen Kane of movie trailers? Is there like an iconic trailer that people in your business just point to and say, that is genius?
Every couple of years, actually, there is. There are trend-setting trailers that really define a new way of approaching marketing. For instance, a couple of years ago, it was the Inception trailer, where that made a big mark on how music was used and how visuals were cut.
What's the most resilient parasite? An idea. A single idea from the human mind can build cities.
Well, a few years before that, there was a trailer for Battle Los Angeles, which, you know, wasn't a landmark film by any means, but that's the interesting thing. Trailers are not necessarily tied to the quality of the film sometimes, but they could be artistic works on their own.
How many of you?
Five of us, three kids.
We have civilians coming out!
Can't take them, we got no room!
Wait! Kids!
So, as I said at the introduction to this segment, sometimes the trailers are better than the movies that they're actually promoting and marketing, and they need to have music, and that's where Yoav Gorin and Jeffrey Fehman come in. They are the co-founders of the company Immediate Music, and you hear their music in movie trailers for Captain America, The Winter Soldier, Amazing Spider-Man 2, and so many others. And Yoav Gorin's been speaking with us via Skype from L.A. Yoav, this has been rather eye-opening, if you'll pardon the pun. Thanks very much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Over on soundcheck.org, I've been writing about how I'm hearing a lot of great new electronic acts that seem to be influenced by great old electronic acts from the 70s and 80s. So I've come up with a list of 10 classic electronic albums whose sound seems to be in the air again these days. One of those albums is the 1975 record Heaven and Hell by Vangelis. Now, even if you don't recognize Vangelis' name, you almost certainly know his music. He did the famous film scores for Chariots of Fire and Blade Runner. But his music in the 70s grew out of the progressive rock movement and in some cases, featured John Anderson, the lead singer of the prog rock band Yes.
Chased a million stars and touched as only one can. Once we did play, how the past delivered you amidst our youth, we dreamed.
That was So Long Ago, So Clear by Vangelis from the album Heaven and Hell, featuring the Yes lead singer John Anderson. Most of Heaven and Hell is structured like an electronic symphony with a full choir and big sweeps of sound. For example, Movement 3 became famous as the theme for Carl Sagan's hit TV series Cosmos, and later Vangelis would rework part of that piece into the theme for Chariots of Fire. That's Movement 3 by the Greek-born, London-based synth player Vangelis from his album Heaven and Hell, one of 10 classic early electronic records from the 70s and 80s that I've profiled on the Soundcheck blog. You can hear this full track and see the rest of the list at soundcheck.org. You can hear a touch of that vintage keyboard sound in the music of the Canadian power pop band Tokyo Police Club. They'll join us to play live next on Soundcheck. Soundcheck, I'm John Schaefer. These days, no one really expects a band named Tokyo Police Club to be from Tokyo or to have any connection to the police. We just expect them to be a real band, not a fictional one. But in their new video game, Tokyo Police Club ask you to drive their tour bus across the moon so they can protect the Earth from a field of asteroids. So, fact or fantasy? We will find out. The game is called Force Field, which also happens to be the title of this Canadian band's recently released fourth album. And that album begins with an epic three-part song called Argentina. They're going to start us off performing part one of it live on Soundcheck. Here's Tokyo Police Club.
are now crying. One lover turns into me. You are now
Tokyo Police Club, live in the Soundcheck studio with Argentina Part 1. That is the lead-off track from the band's latest album called Force Field. And the members of Tokyo Police Club here with me on Soundcheck include Graham Wright, who played guitar and keyboards, did some backing vocals. Hello, Graham.
Hello.
Dave Monks, singing and playing bass guitar. Hi, Dave.
How's it going?
Josh Hook on guitar and Greg Alsop behind our drum kit. I was wondering, Dave, how you were going to end that song, because on the record, Argentina Parts 1, 2,
going.
And 3, just, yeah, they flow one right into the other. Is this the country of Argentina, or is this an Argentina of the mind?
Well, the song first came as it was flowing out of my brain lyrically, from the Don't Cry For Me, Argentina.
From Evita.
Yeah. And but then it was more like, Argentina, do not cry for me. You were not. I was just rearranging that. And then, but I think Argentina is just metaphorical for the, you know, the crush in the song or whatever the new love is in it.
Yeah. The album's called Force Field. And as I mentioned in the introduction, that's also this video game that you guys have put online. Which I tried, and I almost immediately got this message. You lose. Asteroids have made it to Earth and caused mass destruction to our planet's civilization. And my favorite part of the message, try again.
Isn't that profound? Isn't that hopeful?
It's just like, you have caused single-handedly the destruction of human civilization. Try again.
we are a kind and forgiving video game god.
Is that the Canadian way? It's like, you have screwed up big time. Have another go.
Give it another shot. Yeah. Wow, give one more.
So are you guys gamers?
I think we all were, like, we were pizza party gamers in our grade school years.
That's a wonderful way to put it.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. Does that mean like a Friday night you order pizza and play games?
The games were incidental to the social aspect of things as opposed to vice versa.
But I think that that's... definitely something generational. It's like everyone had the video game things, and even if like your parents didn't allow you to have them at home and you went to the party and then you sucked at the racing game or whatever.
Yep.
Something that everyone grew up with. Our video game system was the N64. We wanted to have 64-bit graphics in the music video, but that just would have gotten too expensive. So
but the game does include the songs from the album. Now, is it like one of these games where the songs will change or the order will shuffle or anything like that?
I'll be honest with you, John. I haven't made it that far game to find out your guesses.
But I will tell you, it's the best video game sync opportunity we've had so far, 100% of the material being our own.
Right. Yes, it's true. The pay wasn't fantastic.
No.
Being from our own pockets.
Well, now, the title Force Field, I mean, you're attempting to block off a field of asteroids from hitting the Earth. As you drive the Tokyo Police Club tour van across the face of the moon. So having said that, maybe it doesn't make so much. I was going to say it makes sense in the context of the game. But the title Force Field in the context of the album, what does that refer to?
I think that gradually became the name that we gave to the feeling that we're having as we made the album, which was a process that took place over a few years. But there was so much stuff going on in the music industry. Is just music in general. It's you're always hearing about. There's always something new. There's something different. It's always changing. And the force field became necessary. It's like, you know, we need this to block out the asteroids and just remember what we do. And it's like the force field is okay. Without all of that, then what do we do?
Right. So as opposed to needing to read Pitchfork every morning to find out what new sub genre has emerged.
Exactly. Or just. That among a million other influences.
Right. All right. But the fictional band in the video game is not the first time you guys have been a fictional band. A couple of years ago, you played Cold Splash.
Yeah.
The band on an episode of Desperate Housewives. How surreal an experience was that?
It was one of my favorite things we've ever done. It was reasonably surreal, as you can imagine. We had a trailer. Wild. Which I didn't expect.
Yeah, it was. We thought we were going to be Tokyo Police Club, and day of we showed up, I was like, director had a great idea. You guys are going to love this. He's got a new name for the band. We're like, oh. And
we would love this. Why?
The most surreal part of it was that we were in this bar set where we were performing, and so they had flyers for all the other upcoming fictional shows, and every band name on every flyer, and there were a lot, was one of our song titles or a reference to, you know, they looked on Wikipedia, a reference to the town we grew up. So it was like, someone like cracked open the melon of our brain, and it was like a dreamscape that just splattered our subconscious all over this room. It was so bizarre.
So for Tokyo Police Club fans, there was lots of like in jokes.
Yeah.
Tons. I don't know that any one of them was in focus. But for us, there was a lot of in jokes.
But it was thoughtful, very thoughtfully done.
And so you guys are in this battle of the bands as Cold Splash.
And the results is Kyle McLaughlin. Because the bar burns down. So we never know who won. I like to think it was Cold Splash.
Or whether or not we live.
I think we'll be back in the movie.
Or whether mass destruction of our planet's civilization is once again being occasioned by a Tokyo Police Club event.
We're a dangerous group of people.
All right. The band is Tokyo Police Club, and their latest album is called Force Field. Here in the Soundcheck studio, the song is called Hot Tonight.
Get me to
apart tonight.
Tokyo Police Club live on Soundcheck with the song Hot Tonight. You'll find it on their latest album, their fourth. It's called Force Field. Once again, we heard Dave Monks singing and playing the bass. Graham Wright singing and playing guitar and keyboards. Josh Hook playing the guitar and Greg Alsop behind the drum kit. Now, Graham, being on the radio, being behind a mic, this is not new to you, right?
I've done a little radio back in Canada with the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation.
Uh-huh. What kind of show?
There's an internet radio station called CBC Radio 3. It only took us two to get to the internet. And it plays independent Canadian music, and so I occasionally speak between songs.
Uh-huh. Like what kind of music?
Well, Tokyo Police Club a lot, which is how I got in the first place. You're Born Ruffians, you're Owen Pallett, who I know you just spoke to recently.
Right.
And then a lot of smaller, very emerging Canadian bands. They're sort of big supporters.
And do you pick them yourself?
There's a team of programmers who know a lot more than I do. But I can influence it if I so choose. Not to play exclusively Tokyo Police Club, unfortunately.
And Dave, do you and the rest of the guys listen?
Have you ever listened to me on the radio?
Jeez, I mean, I think there was that one time.
Well, I'm sure you hear quite enough of
we see enough of
Graham in the
other
tour van.
Yeah, I talk a lot.
The video game, drive Tokyo Police Club's tour van across the moon to help protect the Earth from a field of asteroids. That's also called Force Field, and that's online. The album Force Field is out now. The band is Tokyo Police Club. Guys, it's been a lot of fun having you here with us.
Thanks for having us.
It's been a pleasure.
All together now, just a shadow.
If you liked our session with Tokyo Police Club, and we hope you did, we've posted an extended version online that has an extra song, an old one from the band. Listen on demand or download the session over at soundcheck.org. Tomorrow on the show, Alex Timbers has directed some of the most talked about shows in New York theater as of late, from Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson and Here Lies Love at the Public Theater to the stage musical version of Rocky, now playing on Broadway. He joins us to talk about the music of Rocky and his long list of upcoming and unusual projects. Plus, Jessica Lee Mayfield has added some crunchy psychedelic guitar to her formerly rootsy sound. She'll join us to play songs from her new record tomorrow on Soundcheck. A reminder that Soundcheck is coming to BAM. Join us June 7th, that's a Saturday night, for live music and conversation with singer-songwriter Hamilton Lighthouser of The Walkmen and the Brooklyn indie band San Fermin. That's June 7th at the BAM Harvey Theater. Details and tickets go to bam.org/radiolovefest. That does it for the show today. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.